This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The most common emotional control mistakes people make during conflict. Why your feelings betray you exactly when you need them most. In short, emotional control mistakes during conflict are far more subtle than shouting or storming out. Most happen quietly, inside you, while your face stays neutral. The damage they cause is cumulative, not immediate, which is exactly why they are so hard to catch in time. Believing you're calm does not mean your nervous system agrees. Silence and composure can be just as destructive as outbursts. The mistake often happens before you open your mouth. Definition: emotional control mistakes during conflict are reactive patterns, both internal and behavioral, that increase tension, block resolution, and damage trust. They occur when the emotional response to conflict overrides the capacity to stay present, think clearly, and respond with intention rather than instinct. Someone once told me he never lost his temper during disagreements. He was proud of it. He sat quietly, kept his voice even, waited for the other person to finish. By every visible measure, he had his emotional control locked down. What he could not see was that everyone around him had stopped bringing him real problems, not because he got angry. Because his silence felt like a wall, he was making one of the most common emotional control mistakes there is, and he genuinely believed he was doing everything right. That is the difficulty with these mistakes. They do not always look like mistakes. Some of them look like patience, professionalism, or even wisdom. Others happen so fast in the first half second of a disagreement that you have already made the error before you know you were triggered. Learning to recognize emotional control mistakes means looking past the surface of your own behavior, which is uncomfortable work, but necessary work. Why these mistakes are so hard to catch in yourself. Conflict puts your brain into a state of alert. The part of you that scans for threat becomes more active, and the part of you that reflects honestly on your own behavior becomes less so. That is not weakness. It is how human beings are wired. The problem is that this shift happens quickly, and it distorts your self-perception. You feel more certain than you should about your own reasonableness. You feel more certain than you should about the other person's fault. Whatever emotional control mistake you are making starts to feel like a justified response. That is precisely when the damage begins. If you want to go deeper on the biology behind this, the amygdala hijack is worth understanding closely, particularly how it affects team dynamics under pressure. The emotional control mistakes that do the most damage. 1. Treating the surge as the signal to speak. What it looks like. The moment you feel a spike of anger, hurt, or injustice, you respond. Immediately. The words are out before the feeling has even settled. Why it happens. That emotional surge feels like clarity. It feels like you've finally understood what is really happening, and the natural impulse is to say so while the feeling is hot. Why it matters. What feels like clarity in that moment is usually reactivity. The words you choose in the first 3 seconds after being triggered are really the words that move things forward. What to do? Build a pause between trigger and response. It does not have to be long. A breath, a sip of water, a single deliberate thought. The pause is not hesitation, it is preparation. That is where your actual emotional control lies. I spent a long time thinking fast responses meant I was engaged. They mostly meant I was scared. 2. Performing calm while seething internally. What it looks like. You keep your voice steady and your face neutral. You say reasonable things. But underneath, you're furious, hurt, or completely checked out. Nobody around you knows it. Why it happens. Many people are taught, directly or by example, that showing emotion during conflict is dangerous or undignified. So they learn to contain it behind a composed exterior. Why it matters. This is not emotional control. It is emotional suppression. The feelings do not disappear. They surface later, often with more force, in the wrong moment, at the wrong person. And people who interact with you regularly will sense the gap between what you say and what you radiate. That gap destroys trust quietly. What to do? Practice naming what you feel before you perform composure. Not necessarily out loud, but honestly, to yourself. I am angry right now. That acknowledgement gives you something real to work with. 3. Using silence as a weapon without knowing it. What it looks like. You go quiet. You give short answers. You disengage. The other person knows something is wrong, but you say I'm fine or nothing at all. Why it happens. Withdrawal is a genuine self-protective response. When emotions run high, silence feels safer than saying something you will regret. Why it matters. What feels like restraint to you often feels like contempt to the other person. They are left trying to resolve a conflict against a closed door. The tension does not dissipate. It accumulates. This kind of silence is one of the strongest predictors of long-term relationship damage in any setting, professional or personal. What to do? You do not have to speak when you are not ready, but tell the other person that clearly. I need a short pause before I respond properly. That is not withdrawal. That is responsible self-regulation. For more on how this plays out across a team, the connection between psychological safety and honest communication is worth your time. 4. Rehearsing your rebuttal while the other person is still talking. What it looks like. You appear to be listening. You might even nod. But inside, you're constructing your counter-argument, assembling your evidence, preparing your defense. Why it happens. Conflict activates the need to protect your position. The moment someone challenges you, part of your mind shifts from understanding to winning. Why it matters. You cannot hear what someone is actually saying when you're busy preparing a response to what you expect them to say. You end up arguing against a version of their position you constructed, not the one they expressed. Resolutions built on misheard positions do not hold. This is where emotional intelligence becomes a practical team skill, not just a concept. What to do? When you notice your mind drafting a response, pause and ask one question instead. A genuine question, one you do not already know the answer to. It forces your attention back into the conversation. 5. Escalating your emotional intensity to match theirs. What it looks like. The other person raises their voice or sharpens their tone. You raise yours to meet it, because at some level it feels like the only language they will hear. Why it happens. Emotional mirroring is partly biological. When someone comes at you with heat, your nervous system interprets that as a threat requiring a matched response. It is instinctive, and it happens fast. Why it matters. Two escalating nervous systems do not resolve conflicts. They produce more conflict. The emotional temperature of the room rises until someone says something that cannot be taken back. De-escalating team conflict requires someone to break the mirror deliberately, and that someone has to be you, because you cannot control the other person. What to do? When you feel the pull to match someone's intensity, lower your voice instead. Slow your speech. Not to dominate the situation, but to create a different emotional offer. It changes the rhythm of the exchange. 6. Treating the apology as the finish line. What it looks like. You say sorry quickly, or you accept an apology quickly, and you both agree to move on. The issue is considered closed. Why it happens. Apologies reduce the discomfort of conflict. Once someone says the words, there is enormous social pressure to declare the matter resolved and get back to normal. Why it matters. A fast apology that bypasses the actual emotional repair leaves both people with unresolved residue. The issue reemerges, often in disguised form, in the next conflict. The cycle repeats because the root was never addressed. Understanding how to apologize in a way that actually restores the relationship matters more than most people realize. What to do? After an apology, ask one more question. Is there anything about this that we have not fully said yet? That question creates the space for real resolution rather than performed resolution. 7. Believing that feeling justified means you're right to react. What it looks like. You feel completely, unambiguously justified in your anger or hurt. And so you do not question your own reaction at all. You focus entirely on what the other person did. Why it happens. Feeling wronged is a powerful emotional state. It simplifies the situation into clear roles, and that simplicity is comforting when things are painful. Why it matters. Here is the truth of it. You can be genuinely wronged and still respond in a way that makes everything worse. The justification for the feeling does not justify the response. Conflating the two is one of the most damaging emotional control mistakes there is, because it stops you from examining your own behavior entirely. What to do? Separate the question of who is at fault from the question of how you want to respond. They are different questions. You can hold the first one lightly while you take full responsibility for the second. The root that produces most of these mistakes. Each mistake above looks different on the surface, but most of them share one root: the confusion between having an emotion and being controlled by it. When we have not practiced the distinction between feeling something and acting on it automatically, the emotion and the response collapse into one thing. Anger means retaliation. Fear means silence. Hurt means withdrawal. The gap where choice used to live disappears. Building genuine emotional control during conflict means restoring that gap. It does not mean eliminating your emotional response. That is neither possible nor desirable. It means inserting awareness between what you feel and what you do next. That is the whole skill, and it can be built with deliberate practice. If your team operates under this kind of tension regularly, looking at what psychological safety actually means and how it shapes behavior gives important context. A quick diagnostic. Where are you right now? Read each statement and answer honestly. Yes or no only. Number 1. I can usually identify what I'm feeling before I respond during a disagreement. Number 2. When someone raises their voice, I'm able to keep my tone steady without forcing it. Number 3. I can genuinely listen to someone's position during conflict without composing my rebuttal at the same time. Number 4. When I go quiet during conflict, I tell the other person why, rather than just withdrawing. Number 5. I can separate my justified feelings from my chosen response, even when the feelings are strong. Number 6. After an argument ends, I feel that the actual issue was addressed, not just the surface tension. Number 7. People close to me would say I'm predictable and even-tempered under pressure, not just on good days. Score your answers. 6 or 7 yes. Your emotional control under conflict is genuinely strong. The value in this article is sharpening awareness, not building foundations. 4 or 5 yes. You have real strength here, but clear gaps. Pick the one mistake above that stings most and work there first. 2 or 3 yes. You are likely repeating patterns you can already half see. The Dale Method offers a practical system for working through those moments more effectively. You can find it laid out clearly in How to Use the Dale Method to Resolve Conflicts. 0 or 1 yes. This is costing you more than you know. Start with one thing. Name what you feel before you speak. Just that. Every single time. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to begin if you recognize yourself here? You do not fix emotional control by deciding to feel less. You fix it by building the habit of noticing more and noticing earlier. The earlier in an emotional escalation you catch yourself, the more options you have. At the very beginning of a reaction, a breath is enough. At full flood, almost nothing helps. Start with your personal warning signals, not the obvious ones at the peak. The early ones are tightening in the chest, a shift in how you are breathing, a sudden certainty that you are absolutely right. Those are your signals. Learn them. And you have given yourself the one thing that emotional control during conflict actually requires: time. The emotional control mistakes covered here are not character flaws. They are learned patterns, most of them, and learned patterns can be unlearned, but not by insight alone. By practice, repetition, and the courage to look honestly at what you do when things get hard. This much I know for certain: the people who get conflict right are not the ones who feel less. They are the ones who have practiced noticing more. Frequently asked questions. What are emotional control mistakes during conflict? Emotional control mistakes during conflict are reactive behaviors that escalate tension instead of resolving it. They include things like retaliating when triggered, going silent to avoid pain, or appearing calm while building internal resentment. They often happen automatically, before conscious thought kicks in. Why do people lose emotional control in arguments? People lose emotional control in arguments because the brain registers interpersonal threat the same way it registers physical danger. When that threat response fires, rational thinking becomes harder to access. The reaction is biological before it is behavioral, which is why awareness and preparation matter so much. How do emotional control mistakes damage relationships? Emotional control mistakes damage relationships by creating patterns that both people start to dread. Over time, the other person learns to avoid honest conversation because they expect a reactive or cold response. The conflict never fully resolves, and trust erodes with each repeated cycle. What is the difference between emotional suppression and emotional control? Emotional suppression means pushing feelings down and pretending they are not there. Emotional control means acknowledging what you feel while choosing how to respond to it. Suppression often backfires, producing eruptions later. Genuine emotional control during conflict requires presence, not performance. How can I improve my emotional control during conflict? Start by learning your personal warning signals, the physical signs that tell your nervous system is moving toward reactivity. Name what you feel before you respond. Create a brief pause between the trigger and your reaction. That pause is where your emotional control actually lies. Is staying calm during conflict always the right approach? Not always. Forced calm can be its own mistake, communicating detachment or contempt when the other person needs to know you care. The goal is not emotional flatness, but honest, regulated expression. You can be genuinely affected and still respond with clarity and respect. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonbookthorn.com to get your copy.